Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome once again to Sound Heart Radio. We are studying from 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we are studying about the flesh. And the Bible presents to us many pictures of the life of the flesh. And in our present study, we're studying the lives of King Saul, who was the first king of Israel, and that of King David. The Word of God tells us that Saul was the people's choice to be king over them. The people of God wanted to be like the other city states or nations around them. They wanted king. So therefore God gave them the king. Keep in mind, he was not God's choice. He was the choice of the people. And understand that Saul was chosen according to their carnal perception of what a king should be. And so God allowed Saul to become king. And some very interesting things. There are some very interesting things about Saul's personality. And in 1 Samuel 15, we read that Saul was given a commission by God through the prophet Samuel. Saul was to go and to slay the Amalekites. And we read that he was to totally destroy everything that belongs to them. And God said, do not spare them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Well, it is important to understand the history of the Amalekites, and their attitude was toward the people of God. And so the Amalekites themselves are a type of the flesh. Now notice what the Lord says in 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. This is what the Lord God, the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. And so Saul was tasked with carrying out the will of God, that is divine justice. And note the terseness of the language in verse 3. Go, attack, destroy. Notice the verbs, do not spare, put to death. The verbs are there for a reason, and the emphasis is on divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. And herein is the failure of much modern theology, that is humanistic theology and not theocentric or Christocentric theology. Divine viewpoint is exclusive in the scriptures. And so we have this personality of Saul who will hear the will of God, and he will hear what he has been tasked to do. But even the verb hear, as used in Deuteronomy 6:4, for instance, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The verb shema means to hear with a view to obeying. to hear with a view to obey. Such is the substantive nature of the scriptures. Everything that has to do with God in the Word of God is substantive and profound, weighty. And so, but when we have the personality such as Saul's personality, who is concerned with his perception, he is consumed by self-perception. He is consumed by the idolatry of self. Saul is a devotee of malignant narcissism. He is a narcissist. He takes his soldiers and he does go and to the Amalekites. And notice in verse 6, he says to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. And we also know, we learn in verse, in this particular verse, in this verse 6, that the Amalekites were the descendants of Esau. In fact, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And you can read 1 Chronicles 136 as a reference. So Saul attacks the Amalekites, but we read in verse 9, Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that was good. There was to be no plunder taken. There was to be no booty saved. This was a mission of Hiharim, that is, that which is completely devoted to the Lord for destruction. Period. Nothing was to be brought back. But we see that there is this failure on the part of Saul to do what God commanded. And note, these they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Verse 10, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. And we read, Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Verse 12, early the next morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor, and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. And so here is a picture of Saul's heart. In Hebrew thinking, a person is defined by what he or she does, that is, by one's actions. The Hebrews are concrete thinkers. They're not like the Greeks, Greek thinking that we meet in the New Testament. And in New Testament times, as for instance, in the book of Acts. So they were concrete thinkers. And so an individual is known by his actions. Very powerful. And so know very carefully the way God presents through the Holy Spirit man's character. We see the character of Saul through his actions. We note the character of persons by their actions as believing ones. This is to be the way that we are to understand persons as well, through their actions, through what one does. And so King Agag is spared. And notice in verse 20 that Samuel confronts Saul. And verse 20, Samuel confronts him about his disobedience. And here is Saul's reply, "But I did obey the Lord." So I want you to see his separation from reality. And Saul said, "I went on the mission the Lord assigned to me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king." Note how many times when this man speaks, he uses the pronoun I, or me. It bespeaks his center of attention, his world. And notice in verse 21, he assigns blame. "The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder of what was devoted to God, Heharim, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord." Notice the distancing language, "the Lord, your God, at Gilgal." And so, we see Saul's flight from reality or separation from reality. We see his use of the pronoun I or me, his concern for self. And we also note that he assigns blame. He says the soldiers took. And then he says to Samuel, "the Lord, your God." Classic narcissism. And we see that he would not take responsibility for his actions. So Samuel will have none of this. There was a superficial repentance on the part of Saul, but it meant nothing. And so Samuel asked for Agag in verse 32. Samuel says, "Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites." Agag came to him confidently, thinking, "Surely the bitterness of death has passed." The name Agag means violent. And so Agag comes before Samuel, and we note that in verse 33 that we read that Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. And so here's a picture that is both Saul and Agag are a picture of the flesh. The flesh must be put to death before we can serve. The flesh must be put away completely. Samuel put Agag to death. Now, the language may be offensive to some, but then again, you and I are told as believing ones that we are to crucify the flesh in the New Testament. We're to crucify the flesh. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." The word "I" in Greek there is ego, or ego, E-G-O. So the ego is crucified. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In our next show, we will continue this discussion of the flesh and the spirit as exemplified in the lives of Saul and King David. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.